This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, for the last year, it's no secret we've been on lockdown pretty much around the world. Toastmaster clubs and other meetings have gone online at some point, and some may already have started going back face to face. We've also seen during the time the acceptance of hybrid meetings or a combination of both. Will this become our new reality? And if so, how will we make this work? Google the term hybrid meetings, and today's guest ranks number 2 out of 4.5 million results. Now, if someone ranks that high, they must be doing something right. Ryan, who is this person who is doing something right?
That person, Greg, is none other than Marcus Seppala. He is a speaker, event host, and stand-up comedian who brings fun to the corporate stage. A 2-time TEDx speaker, Marcus draws on his 13 years in executive compensation strategy, as well as his insights from the comedy stage to engage diverse audiences with humor and enthusiasm. Marcus is based in Basel, Switzerland, where he runs Comedy Basel, the biggest comedy club in town. A Toastmaster since 2007, Marcus is a founding member of the Basel International Speakers Club. He's been featured in the Toastmaster magazine, most recently in the April 2021 issue, in an article entitled Hybrid Harmony: How to Make Club Meetings Work When Members Are Online and in Person. Marcus Seppala, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Marcus, over the past year, I've noticed you've carved out this niche for yourself, going really deep on best practices for Zoom meetings, live streams, virtual events, and so on. And through your YouTube channel, your social media presence, you've really shared generously lots of tips and resources. And I wonder, someone who already had a platform as a speaker, as an event planner, running your comedy club, what was it that motivated you to dive so deeply into these evolving meeting and event formats?
If we talk about hybrid meetings specifically, I noticed that when we started doing hybrid meetings at our clubs here in Switzerland, there wasn't really a lot of guidance on how to do it. And I figured that if I can just teach a couple of people with my videos how to do it, I thought that would be quite useful for other Toastmasters members who are in a similar situation and non-Toastmasters members as well. I also really like making YouTube videos. I think for any speaker, it's an amazing platform to get your message out. And especially in a time when you don't have physical stages to be on, it's a great place to communicate and connect with people. The reason why I prefer YouTube videos is that there are much more opportunities to make money from it. You can only make so much money from podcasts. It's basically just ads and maybe some affiliate links, but YouTube has built-in monetization. So also for any speaker who wants to promote themselves and make some money on the side, I think YouTube is a great opportunity.
So regarding these hybrid meetings, what does this really mean for clubs? And do you believe that this is going to be the new normal going forward, or once we get back to finding some sort of sense of normalcy?
I think it depends on the club's individual situation. I'm not even sure that there is such a thing as a new normal, because I think it's much more important to think of what are the needs of the particular club members. So if you as a club can offer a hybrid option for your club members, I think that's only a win. And it doesn't have to be permanent. Let's say, for example, that during this year in 2021, we're doing hybrid meetings, and then in the future, maybe it's in-person meetings only. So I don't think there's anything definite about it. It doesn't have to be a final decision. I also think that now that people have gotten more used to working from home, maybe there's more appetite from the members for having an online participation option. So I would rather not speculate on what the future is, and I would rather say that as Toastmasters clubs, let's just try the different formats that we have available and see what their members like.
Marcus, I was just reflecting earlier. It was actually 2 years ago this month that I attended my first hybrid meeting. And that, of course, was before the pandemic. And it was at Greg's club, one of his clubs in Canada. I zoomed in from Massachusetts. And the draw for me was there was a guest speaker who was also Zooming in to participate in this meeting and to deliver a special presentation. At the time, I was quite pleasantly surprised at how smoothly everything worked with the technology. And I remember thinking, gosh, executing this is probably beyond the reach of most of the clubs that I've visited, but it sure would be amazing once technology and people's facility with it increases to the point that we could do these more frequently. And it looks like we might be getting there sooner than I had thought back in April of 2019. What do you see as the biggest hurdles that clubs face in attempting to integrate the technology?
Let me say two things there. From a purely technical perspective, the audio is the biggest hurdle. It can be quite challenging to make sure that the online participants can hear the in-room participants and the in-room participants can hear the online participants. And that's also the most important thing, much more important than video. But it's pretty easy to sort that out so long as you make sure that all your audio is coming in and out through one device only so that you don't have multiple microphones and multiple speakers in the room. So as long as you can sort that out just by disconnecting audio from all the different devices, I think you're going to be okay. I think the second hurdle is that people put too much emphasis on the technology because you don't need expensive equipment. You can basically do a hybrid meeting with just a laptop. So long as it has a screen, a microphone, speakers, and a camera. And you can get started from there. And I think it's much more important for us to think about how do we communicate in this format and not so much on what is the technology, especially if some of the technology requires a bit of an investment. And I think it's also important to get over this idea that it has to be perfect. Like, it's not going to be perfect. And you will fail in your first and second and third hybrid meeting. Something will go wrong. I've run out of batteries. I've lost multiple connections because the internet wasn't strong enough. It's going to happen. You just need to start, basically.
Yeah. To Ryan's point, back in April of 2019, we weren't necessarily looking at this as a hybrid meeting. We actually did it to accommodate our guest speaker, Freddie Doctorow. The meeting that Ryan attended was in Lethbridge, Alberta, which is 500 kilometers away from Edmonton, about 300 miles. We never realized that a year later, oh boy, look, now we're all going to be doing this. We were fortunate with our success. We have some fairly tech-savvy people in our group, and I have to offer kudos to a gentleman named Mark Hain in our club, who was the one that spearheaded this. We also had AV facilities in our meeting location, and we did have a few bumps along the way with interviews. But I also know there's some other clubs who made, we'll call it valiant efforts, but the experience was so poor that they decided to drop it. And as you already mentioned, a few of these people had trouble hearing. People seemed to forget that there were folks out in cyberspace. Mm-hmm. People at both ends couldn't see who was speaking. And then you really felt sorry for the newbie Toastmaster or the sergeant at arms or whoever was the techie person trying to keep this all together. So what I'm wondering is, you had mentioned that sometimes it's as easy as putting together just on a laptop, and we'll talk about equipment in a moment. But what are some of the things that a club or individual should start considering when planning or if they're looking at going to these types of meetings?
If you're going as just a guest or as a member, as just an attendee to other clubs that are organizing hybrid meetings, I would say observe what they're doing and steal their best ideas. I mean, share their best ideas. This is what we do in Toastmasters, right? When somebody else in another club is doing something well, we can definitely learn from them. And if you're planning a hybrid meeting for your own club, I think one of the things that you need to take into consideration is that the time it's going to take to set it up is going to be a lot more than what you usually have. I usually have to arrive about an hour before the meeting starts in order to get everything set up for the hybrid meeting. For a regular meeting, we can have the setup done in 10 minutes. So that's one aspect of it. Another aspect in the planning should also be to make sure that there's more than one person in the club who can do the technical setup. And this is something that I'm struggling with myself. I'm currently the only person doing the hybrid meeting setup. And very wise members in my club have pointed out to me that, you know, you should teach somebody else to do this as well. And those people are right. Yeah. So really plan for it to be a team effort, and also plan for the unexpected. Like, if we have three cameras running, what happens if two of them stop, for example? At least assume some flexibility in how the meeting is going to run. This is actually a really good reason to do this in Toastmasters specifically, because we're all about learning by doing and learning by failing. It's a safe environment where we can try out new things. And that's not only speeches, but it's also meeting formats and the technical side of it as well.
That's a really good point. Some clubs may find this a bit of a challenge, but as we've seen time in and time out over the last little while, it's certainly worthwhile to be able to have these meetings, especially since we can't be physically face-to-face.
Well, at least it's worth trying. And it could be that it's not a great fit for your club and your level of equipment or technical expertise. And that's fine too. You don't have to do it, but it's worth trying and see if you like it. And it could also be that everybody loves it, even though it's done with low-tech consumer-level technology. And that could work as well. So just give it a go and see what happens.
I'd like to circle back to equipment for a moment, Marcus. I know you made the comment that a hybrid meeting could be conducted as simply and easily as with a laptop. I think a lot of clubs are going to want to take it to another level, but you start looking at microphones and cameras and tripods and compatible cables and so on, and there are endless options for each of these. What advice do you have for clubs on how to weed through the endless offerings and find equipment that's going to get the job done at an affordable price?
So audio is definitely more important than video, and you certainly don't need a fancy camera to run a hybrid meeting. You can definitely start with the built-in laptop camera that you may have. And then it's quite easy to connect a second camera just from your phone. Just put your phone on a little tripod, log into the same meeting, same Zoom meeting from the same account, and you have a second camera. Just make sure to turn off the audio completely on the phone to just really disconnect the audio on the phone. Cameras, videos, not really that critical, but the audio component really is important so that you don't get echo between the different devices, and they're disconnecting the audio is absolutely key. I actually released a video on the day that we're doing this recording about how to avoid audio echo and audio feedback specifically in hybrid meetings. And that also shows our meeting location, Basel International Speakers. For the audio part, in the first few videos that I made, I used a $20 lavalier microphone that connects with a wire into the laptop. And that was for audio in. And for audio out, I use an old Bluetooth speaker that I got, I want to say, 7 years ago or something like that. So you can probably get started with the equipment that you already have. Just make sure that all the audio in and audio out is routed through one device. In my case, it's the laptop. And you will find out as you start experimenting with it, what kind of equipment you need. The solution that I have in my current hybrid meeting setup uses a conference speakerphone that just connects with either a USB cable or a Bluetooth connection into my laptop. And that works really well as well. Think more about what do you need the equipment to actually do and less about which specific products it is, because you don't need to spend money in order to run a decent hybrid meetings, and you don't need to spend a lot of money to run a great hybrid meeting.
No, I feel really encouraged by that answer of like, wait, we really can do this.
Absolutely. But let me give you the example of doing a hybrid meeting with just a laptop. We had a committee meeting for our Toastmasters Club. I had it on the dining room table here in my apartment. I think we had 4 or 5 committee members here physically, and then we had 1 or maybe 2 committee members joining remotely. And the only technology we used for that meeting was to place a laptop on my dining room table. And we were able to see the 2 people in the online portion, and they were able to see us as we were sitting around the table. And it was just using the laptop camera. So for a small meeting of, what was this, maybe 6 or 7 people, a laptop can be a good start. So start somewhere and start building from that. Don't go and invest in expensive equipment before you figured out the basics.
So you've given us a little insight into some of the technology that you can use. And of course, we will put in the show notes links to the article and also some resources that you have. Just out of curiosity, what are some of the things, like off the top of your head, that you can think of that one should avoid or one group should avoid? Like, what are some of the big no-nos that you should right off the bat say, don't do this?
One item kind of reminds me of what we were talking about before. Don't expect perfection. Like, don't go into the hybrid meeting expecting that it's going to work. Even after the 10th one, there's probably going to be something that's wrong. The other big mistake is to focus too much on the technology, because it's very easy to get bogged down with the technology. Whereas what we're actually there to learn is communication skills and leadership skills. And that relates much more to the content and what you're actually saying. And how are you interacting, for example, between the online participants and the in-room participants? How are you making sure that you're engaging your audience in both places? So I would say don't focus so much on the technology. Focus more on the engagement of the audience. And even if your video is a little bit grainy, that's not going to matter so long as you can deliver jokes and an inspiring message or a clear call to action. So focus on that, I would say. I actually released a pair of videos with hybrid meeting mistakes. The first of those videos was technical mistake or technology mistakes, and the other one was more communication mistakes. I know that people want to hear about the technology, but I think that people should hear more about the communication side. That's where I think we can do a lot of improvement.
Sounds good.
We'll be sure to put the links to both of those in the show notes for this episode. So thanks for tipping us off on that.
Ryan, I'm sure you'll agree that Marcus seems to be a pretty interesting guy. So let's talk a little bit about you, Marcus. Why did you join Toastmasters and what's it done for you?
I was speaking to my boss back in Brussels, Belgium in 2007. I was complaining that, why doesn't anybody ever listen to me around here? And he said, well, maybe you should learn how to speak better. Join the Toastmasters Club. And I did in Brussels, Belgium. That was 14 years ago, and I've been enjoying it ever since. I'm still not sure if people actually listen to me, but that was the advice that I got from my boss.
What'd you say?
Yeah, did you say something, Marcus?
But now, of course, I have the advantage that in my YouTube videos, I have data, and it has this audience retention graph, and it shows you second by second if people are still watching or if they're dropping out. So now I know for a fact that some people are. I think it's a great base for other types of communication activities, not only from the perspective of giving speeches, but also organizing meetings and leading meetings. I think Toastmasters lead great meetings with, you know, a strict schedule, at least in my case, but we also have lots of jokes in there. And I do this exercise at the start of every meeting where I do thought of the day, where I ask everybody to take 20 seconds and just share one thought of the day. And this is a technique that I learned in Toastmasters, but I apply it in my corporate career as well. So I think we can get a lot of tips on how to run better meetings, but maybe this is an underappreciated part of Toastmasters. I think we can do more to bring our lessons learned from the organization into corporate life as well. Or the other aspect of that is that because I had quite a lot of experience organizing meetings, it made it much easier for me to start a stand-up comedy show. It made it much easier for me to run my own TEDx event, because you kind of get to practice these event management and running events in the Toastmasters context, and I found that really helpful. So there's a lot more than just public speaking that you can get out of being a member of Toastmasters.
That's really great. So let's talk about the comedy club for a moment here. And what's the name of the comedy club again?
I call it Comedy Basel. And I chose that name because it's a great keyword. When people are looking for a comedy show in Basel, Switzerland, they're probably going to type in Comedy Basel, and they will find comedybasel.com.
Brilliant, brilliant. And I understand from a previous article you were featured in back in February, if I'm not mistaken, titled A Funny Thing Happened, How Toastmaster Marcus Seppala Found His Way Into the World of Comedy. Your comedy club is actually not in a single physical location. It's at three rotating locations. And have you experimented with virtual comedy shows or hybrid comedy shows at all over the past year or so?
The current public health situation has been pretty hard for comedy, right? And when all the physical location had to close, doing online shows was an alternative for a lot of people. I tried a few of them, but there is one incredibly important component missing from it, the reaction from the audience. If you can't hear the audience laughing or not laughing, it just doesn't make for a great show. This kind of virtual comedy shows, for me, they don't really work. Some people are able to do it. Good for them. But I just want to go back to the physical stage. And we're actually going to do our next live outdoor comedy show here in the next week. So I'm really looking forward to that. So for me, online comedy shows didn't really work. But some people are able to do it. They are better people than I am in that regard.
Marcus, you mentioned earlier how in Toastmasters we learn by doing, and in the article, and I'll let you come out with it, but I just want to allude to the fact that you performed comedy on the same stage once, performed by Jay Leno, Letterman, Robin Williams and even Jerry Seinfeld, but yet the results were less than stellar. Can you share a little bit about that one?
Yeah, I'd be very happy to.
Because it's always fun to hear about people's failures. That's right.
My first TEDx talk was actually all about failures. It was actually exactly on that topic. How can we be more free to fail and actually embrace our failure? Actually talk more about our failures, especially in corporate life. So this is a topic that is near to my heart. But the story that I talked about in the article, it relates to this comedy club called The Comedy Store. But there are a couple of American comedy stores, but the one that I was talking about is the one in London, which is not affiliated with the American ones. But it's a huge theater. I think it's about 400 seats. I was very happy to get on that stage because it's a great experience for anybody. I went up to the microphone. I gave them my opening joke, and the delivery was perfect. And the crowd went wild with booing. They booed me. They booed me off the stage. I lasted for 18 seconds until they booed me off the stage. I'm very happy to report that was not the worst performance of the evening. There were a lot of people who lasted less than 18 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like my first table topic I remember. I didn't make 12 seconds. My colleague who sat next to me got up and said, "I have nothing to say," and sat down. So he actually beat me.
There we go.
It's easy to sit here, ha ha ha, and we laugh about it now, but I'm sure it wasn't funny at the time. How did you process that? I can imagine that must have been devastating.
No, not at all. There is some added context to this as well. The show is called King Gong. You have about 30 comedians going up there, and the task for each of them is to do 5 minutes without getting booed. So the assumption is that everybody will get booed.
Okay.
So it is a kind of a heckler show. And I think out of the 30 comedians that started, if I remember correctly, four were able to get through 5 minutes without getting booed off. So in the audience, you have three people with like these judging cards, and as soon as they hold up the red card, and if all three judges do it, then you get booed up. But there's also a person on the stage who bangs a big gong, and that's when you know that your show is over. That's why it's called King Gong. It's a gong show. So getting booed off the stage was going to happen to almost everybody. That is just part of the fun. So it's just part of the format. And there's other formats like this as well, where the audience is encouraged to heckle the comedians. I went to one of those in Chicago, and you actually had two people on stage whose job it is to interrupt you and heckle you. And I took that show also here to Basel, and I called it the Tough Room. It's a comedy heckler show. And we also had an on-stage heckler there to interrupt the comedians. It didn't really work here because people are so polite. But we have to train them to be a lot nastier for that show to work in Switzerland. But in Chicago, it worked really well.
Yeah, that would never work in Canada, would it, Greg?
Yeah, maybe. Well, actually, it reminds me of a number of years ago when I was on the district leadership team. I visited a club in Calgary, an advanced club. And during table topics, that's what people did. They would actually heckle the speaker and see how they would handle it. Now, of course, I'm so glad I didn't get heckled. I mean, it was hard enough for me when I did my 12-second table topic, because after that table topic, I was leaving and never coming back. But obviously, I did. Good on you for going through that process, because I know for a lot of people, it's not easy.
Yeah, well, this is what you sign up for when you do these kinds of shows. You could also choose not to do these kinds of shows. Like, if this is not your thing, you can also not do it.
Right. That's true.
There's the other kind of show.
Don't do it.
Which is the roast battle, where two comedians stand on stage and they insult each other for 10 minutes. And that's the kind of show that I've done exactly once. I cried on the train ride home, and I'm never doing it again. So it's, you could choose not to do the shows.
Right.
Isn't that called the presidential debate?
Once the situation changes in Switzerland there, I know the virtual format didn't work, but do you think a hybrid format might work for the comedy club?
I don't know. I doubt it, at least in the sense that you would have kind of two equivalent audiences. Because this is really important in a Toastmasters hybrid meeting, is that you should treat both parts of the audience as equivalent and engage them. Mm-hmm. But there is another way which you could do comedy, is that you could have the live audience there maybe at a higher ticket price, and then you could maybe live stream the whole show. Mm-hmm. So there would be a hybrid component to it, and sell those tickets at a lower price, or have some other kind of incentives for them to do it. So they could still enjoy the show without being physically there. So that's the kind of solution that could work. But I think it's not going to work in the comedy club, like it works in the Toastmasters club, where you really want to include both sides.
It sounds like it's very possible that hybrid meetings could certainly be a viable option for some clubs. Of course, there is the article, the Hybrid Harmony article, How to Make Club Meetings Work When Members Are Online and in Person. I know we're going to post a link to a number of resources as well. But if someone is wanting to, let's say, starting today, they want to start looking into the business of having a hybrid meeting, where do you think they should start?
Where should you start? I think you would have to check some prerequisites first. For example, is there a stable internet connection in your meeting location? That would be a great place to start. We thought we had, we didn't, and that's why our second and third cameras failed, because there just wasn't capacity. Another place to start is just maybe think out loud or ask your members if they are interested in it, or just try it. As a committee, you could just decide to try it even without asking the members. Just say, here's something new that you can try. It's probably not going to affect them in any negative way. So that's a good place to start. And then on the technical side, just start by setting up an audio solution that works. Something that can pick up the audio from the people in the room, whether that's a mic on stage, like I had in my early setups, or whether you have a conference speakerphone like I have in my later setups. It's not that hard. Just plan a little bit of time. You will see if it works or not. And you will also see and feel if people even appreciate it.
Good point.
Well, Marcus, your passion for this topic has been to our benefit. And I say our as the inclusive, not only Greg and I, but of course the whole listening audience and your audience on YouTube and social media. And speaking of, where are the best places for folks to follow up with you and to keep track of the content you're producing?
The easiest place to find me is on my website. It's marcuspresents.com. That's Marcus with a K. And I have links to my YouTube from there, to my Facebook page, and everything else. Marcuspresents.com is a great place to start.
Excellent. Marcus Seppala, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.